What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are taking you up to 6:30 tonight. Commanders Bengals under the lights. Monday Night Football, Northwest Stadium. This will be the closest thing we get to a dress rehearsal this August for Washington. The breaking news of the day, as you just heard Toby mention, Brian Robinson will not participate in the game, so you can add him to a list of about 10 players that won't go tonight. But we're still going to see 20 guys or so, Danny, that did not play against the Patriots break a sweat this evening and get their first action of the preseason.
It is a big deal. If not for them, for us, certainly, right? Answers so many questions. We'll be left with more after, you know, how much game planning was involved, or how much did they care, or what do they want to see, what were they working on? It's always what the preseason leads us to until we finally get the results of the regular year. But, yeah, I've been hungry to see a number of their featured players. We'll get some tonight.
Let's go to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And let's welcome onto the show David Pollack, a guy whose work I've really enjoyed on the broadcasting side of things, covering college football for years, ESPN and other outlets. You can check him out on the Believe Network with a new show that he's launching, but also a former player in the league who was outstanding at Georgia. David, you're on in D.C. We're getting ready for Monday Night Football tonight on Grant and Danny. Going back to your playing days, I'm just curious, playing in the preseason where you're going through the motions, but you're told, hey, you're going to get a couple series, but you're on primetime. It's Monday Night Football. Buck and Aikman are here. The country's watching. What were those emotions like during the day, and how did you kind of square everything as you got ready to go out and put something on tape?
Well, I think it was weird because you were like, wait, this is a big deal. This is big time, but it's not really big time because it's not really competitive and you're not really trying to win, which is, you know, it's weird. I think you really start to look at it more like a practice or more like a scrimmage, you know, like you're trying to get better. You're trying to do what you can to help and to be successful in whatever role that is. And then they understand, too, there's a lot of people, though, that are fighting for a job. Like, that's the most important thing. There's a lot of people that literally are, like, they're trying to make a team. They're trying to make a name for themselves and trying to get on the roster and make a niche. So there's a lot more at stake. Obviously, you don't see as much of the star players as you want to, but a lot of other people that are fighting to try to make a career in the NFL.
David, a lot of the kids that want to go to the NFL will be on display this weekend. College football, I don't know if what are we doing, week negative one or like week 0.5 or 0.6. I don't know what it is, but a nice little appetizer kind of going this weekend, this Saturday. What are we going to find out? What are you looking forward to?
I mean, it's fantastic. You're right. Like, we do have the week zero, which is strange, admittedly. But how about a great game, though? I mean, you got Iowa State versus Kansas State, and those are two, you know, teams that are in the Big 12 that are – it seems like there's always a bunch of teams in the Big 12 that are very competitive that can win the league. And obviously Kansas State's there. Iowa State played for the league last year. Like, it's in Dublin, Ireland, which is always unique and different. The scenes, we saw Florida State lose there to Georgia Tech, you know, not too long ago and shocked everybody. But I literally looked at my wife on Saturday and I was like, babe, it all, I don't have anything to do right now for like the next 4 hours. This won't happen again for a long time on a Saturday. And I was like, it is amazing because, you know, football is right around the corner. And then, you know, then you get y'all. I know y'all get no flack from your wives, from your significant others. It's like, man, this is my work. Like, this is my job. Like, I have to sit here on this couch and I have to watch this football game. And we're going to get a lot of football. And then obviously when you get to real weeks, week one, maybe the best week one we've ever seen in our lives with three, you know, top 10 matchups, three of the top 10 teams in the country playing each other in week one is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I want to get into that in a moment, David, but you just said something that caught my attention. David Pollack is with us on Grant and Danny. I had a buddy over the other day. We were doing something at my house, and he goes, so, like, during the fall, what's that like for you? And I said, listen, man, I said, I am the worst husband and worst dad in America every Sunday in the fall, and I just kind of go in knowing that, And my wife accepts that. Like, she'll get the kids out of the house as often as possible or not. But they're just kind of a family without a dad from about 11 a.m. until midnight on Sundays. That's the deal for me. I'm sure Saturdays are kind of similar for you.
Yeah, it really is, man. I mean, we get up in the morning and, like, try to do something. I try to do something active. I usually play basketball, work out, like, make sure I'm not, you know, doing nothing for the whole day. But, you know, the older my kids get, my kids are probably older than yours now, but, like, I got a 17 and a 15-year-old.
Wow.
And my 17-year-old boy, like, he'll be watching every game with me. So, like, that is – so if you want to be technical about it now, like, I got my son for sure. My daughter will be pinging back and forth. But, no, I think that every man follows their squad, right? Like, most people follow their squads and their teams, and they live and die with them. But when it is your job, like with the stuff that I do, man, you have to follow all of it, right? So you can go on, you know, the different shows, and you can make sure that you're educated. And it's just fun to compare and contrast. And, you know, everybody's got their different viewpoints and backgrounds and biases, and it's fun to have, you know, educated conversation on who's the best. And then to do that, I think, at a high level really requires you to actually watch and to pay attention and see what's going on for yourself.
David Pollack to get us ready for the college football season on Grant and Danny on this Monday. It's here, people. It's football season. I'm at Northwest Stadium getting ready for Monday Night Football, Bengals Commanders tonight. So let's get into this week one, really, that officially starts a week from Saturday on August 30th. You mentioned it's an all-timer. We've got 1-3 Texas-Ohio State, which is a playoff matchup. LSU and Clemson is a 9-4. That's a nationally televised game on ABC. And then the following day on Sunday, kind of standalone, Notre Dame and Miami, two top 10 teams again on ABC. But let's kick things off right off the top with Texas and Ohio State, that Fox noon kickoff at Ohio Stadium in Columbus. How good is this game going to be?
It's going to be awesome. I mean, it's so good. And you saw, you know, you got a little tiny preview of it a year ago because the then defending national champions, the Michigan Wolverines, had Texas come up, remember, last year. So, you know, Texas came up and handled business, and now Texas is coming up for the national champions again with Ohio State. And obviously, so many pieces, you know, being replaced on both sides. But when you look at both, Ohio State, you know, you're finding your quarterback. You're going to find all the things you need to find on the defensive side of the ball because you lost so many guys. But Ohio State still has the best offensive player in the country and the best defensive player in the country. So that's a good starting spot. But I think the biggest thing when I look at Ohio State is they're replacing also both coordinators. Chip Kelly goes to the NFL. Like, obviously, Knowles leaves and goes to Penn State, rival Penn State. Jim Knowles, their DC. So replacing both of those sides of the ball, a lot of pieces. You know, what are they going to be out the gates? And Texas, you know, kind of building. Like, there's not a state, guys, in America that has benefited more from NIL than the state of Texas. Why, you say? Great question. When they drive whatever car they drive to work that day and they open the glove box, well, they just found $3 or $4 million. Like, there's just there's oil money that runs deep. And Texas and Texas Tech and Texas A&M have had more funds than anybody. And you've seen Texas, you know, back-to-back Final Fours, Arch Manning, you know, being talked about. Texas's defense is absolutely dirty. It's the best defense in the country. They got one of the best players at every level of their defense. It's stupid, man. Week one, we get, you know, 1-3, two great teams. Both of these teams are going to go to the playoffs, but seeding purposes will really matter because they changed, you know, the rules from last year. It's not just about, you know, winning your conference to get a bye. It's going to be the most highly ranked teams.
Great. David Pollack with us here on Grant and Danny. David, my neighbors are Clemson fans, right? They've got family down there. I think the dad went to Clemson. Like, everybody, they love Clemson so much. And I was trying to engage them in conversation the other day. I was like, dude, I think Clemson's going to be nasty. And they're doing that thing where they kind of, they're like, yeah, I think they'll be okay. Like, zero arrogance. So nervous for a team that, like, is in the championship picture. Like, I just was, so I ended up just busting their chops for a long time. But I think this Clemson team is legit. You obviously have forgotten more about them this morning than I know my whole life. But it still seems they're, you know, preseason ranked number 4. University top 10, they can run through a below average ACC. Like, they're legit, but Clemson fans are afraid of Clemsoning, I think.
Well, I think they had they've had a bad stretch for the last several years.
Yeah.
And so now you're trying to, like, you know, I'm not going to believe it until I see it, but I'm all in, man. That's their slogan at Clemson, and I've been all in for a while on this squad. Just they made a couple of changes that I needed to happen at Clemson. One, they changed their defensive coordinator. They got Tom Allen from Penn State, who's a baller. And I can tell you this, after knowing these coaches for all these years, there's not a better culture fit in America than Allen going to from what he is, from what he built in Indiana as a head coach to defensive coordinator at Penn State. Like, it's an unbelievable culture fit for what Clemson is. Second thing they did, they went to the transfer portal, guys. And I don't think that's compromising. I think that's smart for Dabo Swinney. Still go find your guys, the guys you want to have here. But you lose, you know, 5, 10, 15 guys a year when you have the transfer portal. If you're not replacing them, guys, it's impossible to keep a roster, not depleted, you know, with so many holes in it. So, you know, that along with what did Clemson have when they won Natties? Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence. I could go through the list of Sammy Watkins. I could go through T. Higgins. I can go through Newt Hopkins. Like, I can go down the list of playmakers out wide with a great quarterback. Cade Klubnik's the first-round quarterback. They've got weapons upon weapons. They got four guys that I could name right now that are absolutely going to play in the NFL that are dangerous. Their defense, when they were really good, they had defensive linemen like Christian Watson, Dexter Lawrence, Cleveland Farrell. Like, those guys were drafted very highly in the first-round, second-round picks in the NFL. They got those guys, man. They got two first-round picks at defensive line. They got a linebacker who's going to be drafted. They got a first-round cornerback in Terrell. Like, they've got talent all over the field. They've got also a chance to exercise some SEC demons, too. Last year, losing to Georgia to open, losing to South Carolina to close. Like, they've got LSU week one, a chance to really show everybody. Like, yeah, those Clemson fans, like, they're going to be either all in or they're going to be all pissy, right, after that game on Saturday.
Yeah.
David Pollack's with us. He's got a new show he's launching with the Believe Network, joining us on Grant and Danny. You mentioned LSU. So I'm currently watching on Netflix this SEC documentary series. It's phenomenal. But Brian Kelly fascinates me. I know he's not well-liked by a lot of fans, but it does feel like put up or shut up time here. They've lost 4-3 in four games in his three seasons. They get Garrett Nussmeier back. He shares an agent with Nussmeier, and in that show you can kind of tell he's like talking to the agent in his car, and he's like, dude, you're going to kill me if Nussmeier goes pro. Come on, man. You're going to kill me. But if they don't make the playoffs, what is the outcome for him, and what does that look like for LSU? It just feels like it's a year where they've got to do that.
Yeah, it's hard because if you're an LSU fan, they don't think like Clemson fans. Let's put it that way, because their last three coaches are Nick Saban, national champion. Les Miles, national champion. Ed Orgeron, national champion. That's what they expect at LSU. That's what they've come to expect, and they've come to expect great players. And also, another thing they've come to expect is great defenses. And I think if you're an LSU fan, there's a couple things like you need to see. I don't think Brian Kelly's fired if he doesn't go to the college football playoff. Their out-of-conference schedule is not easy. Their SEC schedule is not easy. Like, it's very, very difficult. But I think LSU fans want to see progress, specifically on the defensive side of the football. Like, that was – the last couple years have been bad. And when you look at that roster, they've got a bunch of dudes on that side of the ball. Like, they've got a bunch – Whit Weeks was a superstar last year and going to continue to grow. Harold Perkins a couple years before that, superstar. Like, they've got Dominic McKinley, a defensive tackle now, who's the next guy that can step up and be a great defensive tackle who was highly recruited. Like, they went to the transfer portal. So I think if I'm an LSU fan, I need to see progress on the defensive side of the football. That's got to happen. And I got to finish games, man. Like, they've just struggled so much to finish games, especially openers. Guys, they haven't won an opener at LSU since Joe Burrow was there.
Wow.
They haven't won an opening game since Joe Burrow was there. Like, and it ain't like it's been a murderer's row. They've played Florida State twice. They lost to Mississippi State and Mike Leach. They lost to Chip Kelly at UCLA. Like, so they've got to start the season with some mojo. They got to play good in the Bama game. You can't get stomped out like they did a year ago. But defensively, I think, is the big deal.
Let's get to that bigger picture of the conference. How do you see the SEC going? I think at my last count, David, 77 ranked teams. I mean, just, it's unbelievable. The buzzsaw that is that conference, man. How do you see it going?
That was your unscientific last count.
I think
it's kind of strange, man, when you look at the league, because I legit could see a world where 12 teams could make the SEC championship game. Now, some of that is schedule. like some, like obviously some people benefit greatly from schedule. Missouri is one of them. Like they don't leave their first six games are at home. Like that's a great thing to have, and they avoid a lot of, you know, big time players in the SEC. But like, listen, this league is silly. It's really, really good. Obviously it's talented, but I think the depth of it is what makes it really, really unique, because like Texas, UGA, Bama, Tennessee, A&M, Ole Miss, LSU, Auburn, OU, Florida, South Carolina. Like, are y'all going to be surprised if any one of those 11 teams make the college football playoffs? I mean, I can literally give you one thing from each of those teams. Like Auburn, if they get good quarterback play, they got the best 1-2 punch at wide receiver in the country. Like, OU gets good offensive line play, now bring it over Mateer, like at the quarterback spot with the type of defense. Like, and these sketch in Florida with Lagway and company, and I can keep going on and on, but here's the problem. They're all going to beat each other up, man. Like, they're all going to play each other. And then, yeah, I didn't even talk about Diego Pavia and the fun gunslinger that is with Vanderbilt. So, you know, I think it's a league that's going to be a lot of 9-3s, man. I really do. I think there's going to be a lot of teams that are really, really good. And because of that, how much does it penalize them when, because if you look at Michigan's schedule, like, there's a great chance Michigan's not going to lose more than two games. Like, does that get them in the playoff over? And what might decide that, too, is they play Oklahoma, which will be another early season game that I think will be fantastic. But the SEC's got a bunch of teams that are really, really good. We'll see if they have a great team as the season goes on.
David, Penn State comes in ranked second. Is that a little rich for you?
Well, I know why you say that, okay? I know why you say that, because you've seen Penn State and the history of big games and not coming up big in the James Franklin era. I get that. But here's what I'll say about Penn State. You need, obviously, you want to bring back, you know, leaders, check. You want to bring back production, check, check. Like, they've got so many guys back. They got better on the defensive side of the football when you bring in one of the best defensive coordinators in the country with Jim Knowles. Like, he's a stud. They got the best 1-2 punch in the country to me is the coordinator spots, because they brought in Koltunecki a year ago and their offense got way better. Now year two with Koltunecki, Knowles comes in. The schedule is very good for Penn State. I think this is the year for Penn State. I really do. I think this is the year that they break through and they shut some people up, because there's a lot of people that are like, hey, have you seen them in a big game? Have you seen them in a big game? And guess what? I can't defend that, guys. Like, I can't sit here and lie to you. I mean, I can't do that. They haven't been great in those big-time games. But I think this year, with all the experience coming back, with a couple of the additions that they made in the transfer portal, with their 1-2 punch at OC and DC, I think they're going to really have a special year.
David, before we let you jump, man, tell folks about your new show on the Believe Network.
Well, you know, coming up with a name for your podcast is always a challenging thing, but I'm a big, dumb defensive lineman. So see ball, get ball made a whole lot of sense, because that's what you do. You see the ball and you go get it. And, you know, listen, I love this sport with everything in me. Like I was talking about the start of the call, man. Like, it's all we do is watch it and break it down. My buddy, who's one of the best, most intelligent guys that I've ever met in football and works for Pro Football Focus and does all the numbers, he does the show with me, man. And we'll give it to you straight, you know, just college football all the time. We're going to have a guest on every week. We got Palika coming on and Fowler and those guys coming on to preview the season. We got SVP, Scott Van Pelt, on Wednesday. So just talking ball, man, all the angles of college football, all the different teams, all the conferences, and just a heck of a lot of fun, man.
I love your passion. You're great at it. David, it's been awesome watching you turn into one of the best analysts covering the game you played so well in the country. Appreciate you hopping on, man. Thanks
for
joining us.
Thank you, guys. Have a great one, man.
Yeah, be good. There's David Pollack, ESPN and the Believe Network, on Grant and Danny. College football, what a start to the season. Three top 10 matchups next weekend. I keep saying it, Danny, but it's one of those, like, pinch-yourself moments. I'm sitting here at Northwest Stadium, ready for Monday Night Football. Got the TV screen in front of me showing the graphics of Bengals Commanders with the countdown clock to warm-ups and the Monday Night crew rolling out equipment on the sideline. We did it.
Yeah.
We got here.
I mean, before Labor Day, number one versus number three. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no waiting around. There's no, like, let's schedule directional, you know, Division II school that's getting $1 million to show up and lose by 60. One versus three, just to start things off.
Let's scout the Bengals ahead of tonight's matchup. You'll see their starters a bunch. What are the storylines we need to know going into tonight about Cincinnati? Jay Morrison, who covers the Bengals, joins us next on Grant and Danny.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
In 4.5 hours, preseason game 2 will be getting underway at Northwest Stadium. That's where I'm sitting right now as we welcome you back into Grant and Danny on the Fan. Danny is in our normal Navy Yard studios, but right now we want to get a preview of tonight's game and scout out the Bengals, so let's find out about Cincinnati's storylines. Jay Morrison covers the Bengals in Cincinnati for SI, and he joins us now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Jay, how much should we expect to see the Bengals play their starters in tonight's Monday Night Football game here in the DMV?
Yeah, I think maybe 2 series at the most. Originally, Zach Taylor, the plan was going to be for him to see them for about a half tonight. This has kind of been one of the big steps in them trying to avoid these slow starts that have plagued them year after year, was to get the starters more reps in the preseason. But a couple of things have happened. One, the offense went touchdown on their first 2 drives last week, so they saw plenty last week. And the offensive line is a bit of a mess right now, and I just think with what they saw last week and the playing a little smart and not trying to expose to injury tonight, they've decided to dial it back to about similar to what it was last week against Philadelphia, probably 2 series.
Jay, there are other teams that don't play guys a lot in the preseason. Right? I mean, it's now kind of the normal trend line. Why has Cincinnati gotten off to such astoundingly horrendous, documented, oh my God, what the hell is happening there starts over the last several seasons?
The simple answer is Joe Burrow has always been hurt or dealing with something. He, in 2020, his rookie year there in Washington, he tore the ACL. So the 21 season got off to a slow start as he's coming back from that. He had an appendectomy right before camp 1 year. He was coming off the wrist injury last year. There was the calf injury the year before that cost him almost all of camp. This was in the works years ago. They were wanting to start playing the starters more in the preseason, but when you're not going to have Joe Burrow out there, they just decided to kind of go away from that plan, and they haven't played their starters. Joe Burrow played 1 series last year, and he played 3 snaps in 2021, and that's been the extent of his preseason reps. So he's healthy this year. He looks great in camp. He looked great last week against Philadelphia. I think that is the major reason for their slow starts, is the fact that he just hasn't come out of the gate healthy and looking like Joe Burrow.
Jay Morrison on the Bengals beat in Cincinnati. We've been dealing with our own holdout and then hold in here at training camp with Terry McLaurin at wide receiver. And you guys kind of wrote the original book this offseason on these with Trey Hendrickson, and now it sounds like the Bengals are willing to trade him. Get us up to speed on what's going on there, and is there some idea that maybe he wouldn't play in week one if he doesn't get a new deal?
Yeah, this is actually a sequel. It was Ja'Marr Chase last year that held in all through camp, and he went out and won the Triple Crown. The feeling is, if you're asking me, deadlines make deals. And it just makes too much sense on both sides for them to get something done. I've always kind of pointed to Labor Day weekend as when it made the most sense for them to kind of come to their senses and get this thing done. Bengals have a long history of this. When they signed Joe Burrow, it was hours before the Thursday night kickoff game between the Chiefs and Lions a couple of years ago on that Thursday night. About a decade ago, A.J. Green, the team is getting on the flight to fly to Oakland for the opener, and they come to terms with him on an extension. They just They're not very proactive. They take things down to the wire. If something doesn't get done, then yeah, Trey has said it. He's on record. He said he is not going to play on the contract this year. So it would behoove the Bengals to get something done. This defense was a mess last year, and the Super Bowl window is wide open with Joe Burrow right now, and they cannot have another defensive year like they had last year. And that's certainly on the table if Trey Hendrickson is not part of his team, or if he's part of the team but sitting out.
But do you guys buy that? You know, we keep coming back with McLaurin to this idea that he just doesn't have much of a choice, that the fines are too substantial, that you have to accrue the season, that at some point you got to show up. Isn't that kind of how you feel about Hendrickson, or do you really think he would go to the end of the earth here?
Well, you know, Trey's had a couple big deals. He signed a big deal with the Bengals in 21. He got a $21 million extension a couple years ago, so he's made his money. Is Terry, I think, still on his rookie deal?
No, this will be his third deal.
This will be his third deal, okay. So, yeah, I mean, I believe Trey when he says it. And, again, he said it in May, and it's easy to say in May I'm not going to play, and maybe things do change when it comes right down to it with the start of the season. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if nothing gets done to see him start sitting out games, and then if Shamar Stewart, the rookie first-round pick, starts lighting it up and getting all these sacks, then maybe Trey loses some leverage. Or if the defense looks terrible, he gains some leverage. Either way, something could get done if he does miss a couple games, and I just don't see that happening. I think it's going to get done before week one.
Jay Morrison with us here, helping us get inside the Cincinnati Bengals on Grant and Danny. What's the gap between them and Baltimore, in your view, in that division?
Razor thin. I mean, they haven't beat Lamar yet, but these games have all been so close. I mean, you look at last year in Baltimore, it comes down to a two-point conversion. The game in Cincinnati comes down to a dropped snap on a field goal. The Bengals would have won that game in overtime if the holder didn't drop the snap. Their games have been incredibly close. So it's, on one hand, it seems like it's really, really a thin margin, but on the other hand, they haven't got over the hump. They haven't beat them yet, and so that makes it feel a little bit farther apart. But you look at the talent, you look at the way these games have played out, I think they're right there with them. And if they are going to get where they want to go this year, they've got to win one of those two games.
SI covering the Bengals in Cincy, Jay Morrison on Grant and Danny. Offense is a known commodity. They're elite, top five group in football. They're going to move the ball and score, so we'll leave that there. Make the case for us that this defense, without Hendrickson, is as good or better, because this was a 4-4 team when they scored over 30 last year. We saw them light it up. Burrow was almost perfect in Cincy in primetime against Washington, and they still lost.
So the case for them being better is, you look at the way they've drafted, that they have a ton of day one and day two defensive picks. They've almost primarily focused on the defense. They just haven't been able to develop these guys. That's why Lou Anarumo, the defense coordinator last year, was let go. They bring in Al Golden, who's the assistant coach of the year at Notre Dame, took Notre Dame to the national championship game last year. His last time he was in the NFL, he was the Bengals linebacker coach when they played in the Super Bowl. They just have a lot of faith in him getting the best out of some of these guys that either haven't got there or have been wildly inconsistent. At times play good, at times they don't. Like I said, a lot of first, second, third round guys on that defense. And, you know, it feels like, and it's looked like in practice, like they are getting better. They are making progress. The preseason game against Philadelphia kind of goes against that. The Eagles' second team really lit them up and has everybody concerned. Well, you're hearing all these good things out of camp, and then they see that. But I do think that the change at coordinator and just some of these young guys getting a year more seasoned, there's room for improvement. They don't have to be great. You get that defense around 16 to 18 in the league with that Bengals offense, I think this team will be fine.
Jay, give me a couple players who have generated some buzz. Obviously, we know the stars. We know the Chases and the Burrows and company. Give me a couple of the young players maybe, or guys that have made some noise in camp.
Yeah, so Shamar Stewart, the first-round pick, he was a holdout. He didn't do anything in OTAs, and he held out through the start of camp. It was about language in the contract. They finally got that done. He has been really surprising in the 3 weeks he's been out there. They He didn't have a lot of sacks in college. That was a lot of Bengals fans weren't happy about the pick, 4.5 sacks in college over 3 seasons. But he's been disruptive. He's been strong. He's playing inside at tackle. He's playing outside at edge. Going to get a long look at him tonight with Miles Murphy out. Shamar's going to start. He's going to play a lot. And then second-round pick Demetrius Knight, they took him probably higher than a lot of teams would have wanted to, but he's really been good in camp. He's a 25-year-old married father of 2, just a remarkably mature, confident guy, and he has looked really, really good. The big question mark for the Bengals is going to be at guard, at Lucas Patrick. They signed him in free agency in the offseason. He looked really bad against Philadelphia. That's the one concern, because their top 4 defensive linemen backups top 4 offensive linemen backups are all injured. Once that first team goes out tonight, I don't think you're going to see this Bengals offense score.
Wow. Jay, before we let you go, just to circle back to playing time. So you're banking on a couple of drives. Quarter or so wouldn't shock you if they ended up playing 15 or so minutes tonight?
Yeah, they got the ball first against Philly, so the offense played the first 2 series. They were out, and then the defense played the first 2 series. That carried into the second quarter. I think it's going to look a lot like that tonight.
Jay, really appreciate the time and insight, man. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right, thanks, guys.
There's Jay Morrison, SI, covering the Bengals in Cincy. Chili's probably overstated and not quite the right word, but as I'm sitting here open window at press level,
it's not 100.
I'm telling you what, man. Yeah. I'm kind of, you know, I just shook a little bit with some chills. I mean, it's misty. It's not like a rain, right? It is raining, but it's almost like a mist machine at an amusement park. And there's moving wind, and it is a little bit chilly, considering that it's August 18th. And as hot as I was the last few days this summer with the rest of you guys out and about, this is wild in terms of feeling a little more like football tonight for Monday Night Football. Hopefully the rain goes away, even if it's just a mist, and everybody can stay dry here at Northwest Stadium. We'll get you a double play next as we close in on 6:30. We'll continue to set the table for the Commanders and the Bengals, including next hour, a deep dive into the running back situation and the breaking news of the day that Brian Robinson, who's being shopped by Washington in trade discussions, is not going to play in this game as they try to advance their chances of moving him. You're listening to The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Brought to you today and every day by the law firm Condori and Murad. We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. No matter what you need, they can take care of it. They will get you set up for a last will and testament or a draft day will, a living trust, put together a medical power of attorney. Again, kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. You'll get a discount. KMLawyers.com. Live from Northwest Stadium, where it is misty, cool for August football. It's going to be pleasant tonight when this weather goes away and things are drier, but it's the Bengals and the Commanders under the lights with the whole country watching this evening. We'll get you ready for kickoff as we close in on the end of the show at 6:30 here on The Fan. Danny, let's get everybody a double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers, now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today.
Being a grown-up, GP, I'm able to spin a couple of plates. One is philosophical, one is the reality on the ground. And let me explain what I'm talking about here. I don't think kids should go to school until after Labor Day. You and I have had this conversation. Maybe the week before, if it's one of those, it's September 6th or 7th, just kind of how the calendar falls. for the most part, that was always kind of the start of school to me. And I remember the joys of being a kid, and that summer seemed to last forever. Shout out Brian Adams. The second mine is the reality on the ground. The kids went back to school today, and thank God. Yes. Get them kids in school. You open that school up, you put them in that school, and you keep them there for hours and hours and hours, and you do it every day. Every weekday, no days off, you keep them in that school. They need to be in that school. So, today was the first day, GP. It was an absolute cluster bingus, but whatever. We got through it. We did it. The boys are off to school today. But it is early. I understand that. It feels early. I understand that, too. But thank God it started today.
I'm happy that you don't have to do dad stuff for them. I'm happy that you got some time to yourself and probably did whatever it is that you do. Played pickleball with some guy or played basketball with some person.
Just changed some diapers this morning, unfortunately. That's all that was.
Maybe you did that. August 18th, man, they can't be in school. Sorry. You got to wait another week, Danny.
I hear you.
You don't get to send them yet. This is stupid. This is dumb. It's generally about 94 degrees today, and there's 2 weeks left for you to go to the pool. The way we'll do the school calendar in Grantville, The way we're going to do it, it's so easy. Here it is. It's going to be the best. Wait for this.
Okay.
What's today? Is it a day of the week?
Yes.
Then the kids are probably in school.
Mm-hmm.
Has Labor Day happened yet? If the answer is yes, then we're in school.
Yep.
But if the answer is no, then we haven't started it yet. Labor Day's on a Monday, right? That next Tuesday, that's when we start. Every year, all the time. Never any reason to navigate away from that. It's stupid, man. August 18th. And by the way, my niece and nephew in King George County, Virginia. Virginia's doing great. They went back last week.
Yeah.
Last week they went back. It was like August 12th.
So the reason
I'm getting pictures in the morning of like what you want to be when you grow up. I'm like, why are we doing this today?
The reason they do it is because there's seven, I think it's an approximate number. I did an informal count. 700 days off now per year. So I don't do that. I would do I'd sign up for the Paulson plan sight unseen. But I know the reality on the ground is there's like seven Thursdays, there's four Mondays, there's religious holidays, then there's days that aren't holidays, but they're just like, yeah, we're not going to go. And it's so much not going to school. So they, instead of keeping them in until the end of June, they start in the middle of August. And that's what it is. But I'm telling you, I'd prefer that over the alternative. But like, to me, if you just, when you say school, it's school, school's open, then they just go. See what I'm saying? But the way they do it, they're pacing themselves. They know I don't think there's a complete week in the month of November or some kind of thing with the calendar. It's just this, it is unreal the number of little tiny breaks that are so disruptive. So I get it. I get why they're doing it this way. I don't like it, but I get it.
Time for your boys' double play. So I got this text from the wife just a few minutes ago. This is pretty strong. There's a sign in the window at Five Guys, which was next to where we got the kids' haircuts today.
Uh-huh.
And it says that they now serve sliders. It says sliders are available for $1.99.
What?
Which I didn't know about. So my wife was curious. So she went inside with the kids and got a couple of sliders for everybody. Turns out, with tax, $2.35, a Five Guys slider. It's like the mini burger. She said it was a four-bite burger, though. It's not like nothing. This
no,
is not
a shooter,
a meatball. It's not like a flattened meatball. This is a good-sized little burger. $2.35 with tax for this thing. Is this new? How have I not known about it?
So
when
I don't
will
know
I
that
first
it's an official menu item, my friend. There's some that have experimented with it, according to the Google. Five Guys Manassas are doing the $1.99 plus taxation sliders, and at certain locations they're doing it. I don't know that it's a universal deal.
Well, on Ox Road in Lorton, Virginia,
mm-hmm.
Five Guys has sliders for $1.99. And I know this because I got a picture of the sign, and then 10 minutes later my wife sent me a picture of the burger that she was eating. So that sign worked. Very simple. If you want someone to come in and eat a burger, put a sign on the window that says it costs less than $2.
Yeah, there you go, right? That's
with
awesome.
Tax $2.35. Let's get a few of those. Let's feed a cup. We got a lot of children we're trying to feed. Let's feed them for like $6. We can get three sliders.
And that's the way to do it. Like for grown-ups, you know, you and me are popping them like Tic Tacs, right? But for the kid size, the number of times I've ordered a full sandwich for the child, it's a 2.5-bite situation, and then there's 93.6% of that sandwich left, and it's infuriating to me. That's the way, right there.
Beltway Blitz is next. We'll get you ready for football tonight, talk about the teams in town you care the most about, and then at the bottom of the hour coming up in about 35 minutes at 4:30 or so, Brian Robinson, likely to be moved? Question mark? Well, he's not playing tonight, and it's mutual. Him and the team have decided that with him being a trade consideration, he's not going to play, which certainly sounds like his days in D.C. could be numbered. We'll get into that more this hour on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.